You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It's safer to walk down the streets of Mogadishu than it is to walk down the streets of New York. And I've said this before. Chicago and to some extent my city in Louisiana, New Orleans, that I love to death, they've become the world's largest outdoor shooting ranges. What you allow is what will continue. And as long as we allow this, the criminals are not going to be unhappy with this, and they're going to keep committing crimes.
Those are the words of Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. This is February 7th, 2022. We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel, Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. And you can subscribe. It's for free, so you can see it immediately, or you can later pull it up, view some of the previous podcast as we put more together. Mondays, I have to tell you, I've come to hate and love them. I love Mondays because I can come right back on the air and jump on some of the issues that are occupying all of our time and our concern and our fears and things that need to be addressed. Addressed from my perspective. Of course, I'm sure you have yours, as you should. You don't have to follow my all the time. I don't expect you to. But I get to rush in and I can jump on things, and there's so many things. That's where the hate part comes in. I'm looking at right now, in fact, I'm just pulling up some of the things I put up for myself earlier. 40 different stories I put up over the weekend that I won't even have time to get to. We have so much going on today. All right, let's begin to pick it up. You were hearing Senator Kennedy talk about crimes in the U.S. of A. and a new FBI stats are out regarding police killings. President Biden, of course, had claimed the other day, we don't really need to defund police, which is going against the progressives and upsetting them to no end. But an FBI database of police officers killed in the line of duty just released shows that more have died since Joe Biden became president than deaths dating back to 1995. Homicide rates in major U.S. cities rising. Other crimes rising. Why? Because of this permissive wokeness. I was sitting beside a woman the other night at a restaurant. Somehow or another we started talking and got into talking about this program. And she said, well, you know, I'm not really a conservative, but I'm not sure I'm a Democrat anymore because that wokeness has gone too far. And I said, that is a crucial issue, not just for you, but I have many Democrat friends that they say, we can't do this anymore. We're not on that side anymore. It's going to show up in the polls 2022 coming up, right this November. Good. I'm glad we are. Then we also have today issues with the GoFundMe for the truckers in Canada being shut down, supposedly because there were reports of violence. There's no violence. There's no violence. They're making it all up still. But it's the same group that also was willing to help fund BLM. There's another sense of wokeness, right? And then we got changes on mask mandates in New Jersey. The New Jersey governor saying, all right, no more mask mandates for schools starting March 7th. Not right now. Well, if it's going to go March 7th, why not now? Who knows? Nobody's paying attention to science unless it's political science. We're going to get into that. And then we also have the issue with a story that's going to be kind of hard to deal with. I will tell you right now, I've looked at this story several times today, and I thought I cannot ignore this thing because this is, again, an indication that if we don't get our country back where we are going. I have a lot of Democrat friends. I have a lot of them listening to the program. I have a lot of independent friends. And, of course, I have a lot of conservatives. I have some far right and some far left who listen. I'm not in favor of either one of those far right or far left. But this particular story, I don't care which side you're on, you're going to have to tell me. A 12-year-old girl attempting suicide on school property twice. Her parents find out about it only after learning about secret meetings she was having with a school counselor. The parents weren't told. What was involved here? The girl being bullied, being told you really need to have transgender surgery. Lock and load, ready on the right. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Any day now, Russia could take military action against Ukraine, or it could be a couple of weeks from now, or Russia could choose to take the diplomatic path instead. The key thing is that the United States needs to be and is prepared for any of those contingencies in lockstep with our allies and partners. We have reinforced and reassured our allies on the eastern flank. We have united the West. We have provided material support to Ukraine, all of President Biden's direction. And we have also offered Russia a diplomatic path if they choose to take it. If war breaks out, it will come at an enormous human cost to Ukraine, but we believe that based on our preparations and our response, it will come at a strategic cost to Russia as well.
Those are the words of Jake Sullivan, pretty dire warning, White House National Security Advisor, and says it could happen any day. Any day now, Russia could invade Ukraine. But he said, we provided all the resources, we've put everything in place to offer ways out. Have they really? Have they done everything possible? And have they not actually done some things that encouraged Russia to start this process to begin with? We're going to have to break it down because there's a lot to cover. I'm going to be focusing this hour primarily on Ukraine, Russia, and possible U.S. involvement. Not necessarily boots on the ground, but still involvement. And when I say not necessarily boots on the ground, I mean in the beginning. And this also has to involve Iran and what's happening in the Middle East and China. There are so many factors, so many villains in play. Did I fail to mention North Korea? There's another concern. We're going to be joined later this hour by Stephen Bryan. He's the Center for Security Policy, one of their experts on security and war preparations. And he's just did a piece at the Manhattan Institute, I'm sorry, the Westminster Institute, about how war can be avoided I want to hear some of his thinking coming up a little bit later, because there's a lot of drum pounding going on that are clearly war drums. Peace normally is quiet, so you're not going to hear that much on peace. But what you are hearing is an outcry of, well, what is our role now? What is it going to be? How do we avoid going down a path we don't want to be dragged down, much less shoved down? And when you watch how the Biden administration handled Afghanistan, and I listen to Jake Sullivan say, we've done everything correct, I say, you were what? You want to tell you your lips are moving and we're supposed to believe you're not lying when the lips are moving? Same thing with Biden. General Milley the other day gave a behind-the-doors presentation to lawmakers. And he has not been questioned directly on it that I've seen so far anywhere. I'm still looking for other evidence of it. But he did tell lawmakers during closed-door briefings, this is actually earlier this month, like last week. This is only Feb 7. So on Feb 2nd and 3rd, he, during closed-door briefings, said a full-scale Russian invasion of Ukraine could result in the fall of Kiev within 72 hours. 72 hours. Now, let's stop there for just a moment. Remember when they said, oh, Afghanistan, oh, it would take a, you know, it would take days, and all of a sudden, by God, it's happening now. Shut down our airbase, get out. And, of course, that escalated. The fall of Afghanistan and under the control of the Taliban again. He's also, and so I'm asking you, do you think 72 hours is a stretch? Or could it be a lot quicker? He said it could also come at a cost of 15,000 Ukrainian troops, 4,000 Russian troops. Numerous lawmakers already expressing concern that the Biden administration is not responding quickly enough to provide Ukraine with significant military aid, such as anti-aircraft, rocket launcher systems that would defend against an invasion from Russia. We have sent stuff, but how much and when it went and when it's going to be enabled and active, it's still not clear. The Biden administration officials at the meetings responded to the concern, saying that, oh, no, we have sent a significant supply of military aid to Ukraine. So Ukraine apparently is getting something like a $200 million allocation made back in December. What that was for is just money, I guess, to go buy weapons. We didn't really provide them. I'm not sure how that worked out. And it's supposedly getting $600 million from the UK and Baltic states. They're looking for anti-tank missiles and older versions of anti-aircraft missiles. The Russians are not going to be bringing World War II equipment. They're going to be bringing the latest. Several Biden administration officials were present at these meetings, in addition to, as I mentioned, General Milley, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, Director of National Intel Haines, Chairman Joint Chiefs of Staff, as I mentioned, Mark Milley, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. Oh, he's a great one to have in a meeting about protecting a border, is he not? How's our southern border? The one we have in this country to the south? How's that? That's your prime concern. Should be. Homeland Security, sure. And then some other deputy secretaries and so forth and so on. Others that, you know, were given a pass to go in and act like you're important, so show straight that we're all here. And, in fact, they immediately started making it clear that we know what we're doing. I have a hard time believing this administration knows where the door to the bathroom is half the time. Oh, then you got to decide, wait a minute. Do I use the transgender bathroom or do I use, or, nah, never mind. We'll go down that in the second hour. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley said, I do know, despite all what we're hearing at this time, from the Biden administration. These were remarks he made just the other day. He said, I do know there is one thing for certain in my mind.
We need to be focusing less on Europe and more on our major security threats elsewhere. China, if we expand NATO, it means that the United States will be providing additional security guarantees that will be more embroiled in European conflicts. This isn't the time for that. We can't do everything. The United States can't do everything. We've got to focus on the safety of the American people. And the number one threat to that abroad right now is China.
It is China. And, of course, he's not in favor of sending any U.S. troops boots on the ground. We do have troops positioned around the area. The numbers keep changing, and what their duty and mission is also probably changing. The Biden administration is reporting that intel briefings that they're sharing show that the Kremlin is an elaborate plot, remember, to fabricate an attack by Ukraine against Russia. Remember that story? We brought it up last week. They continue to put that story out, and if you dare step against it, if you say anything against it, you get slammed back. I'll give you an example. Last week, you just heard Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, Republican, talk about what we need to be concerned about. Well, last week, Jen Psaki of the White House took a swipe at Hawley, suggesting he is consuming Russian disinformation and parroting talking points. How dare she? She is the White House spokesman. That's exactly what she does, is parrot White House talking points. That's her job. I'm going to allow that. But what an ignorant statement to come from her. And Russian disinformation, how much disinformation have we gotten from this Biden administration on everything? The border, the vaccines, the mandates, the mask, your security, crime and law and order. And now this, how much disinformation are we getting? Or how much any information are we getting? So she made a point to call out Hawley on that point. She did take a softer tone with reporters later, attempting some previous rhetoric, assuring them that the Biden administration does welcome, quote, good faith security scrutiny. Welcomes good faith scrutiny. In other words, we are willing to listen to some real legitimate questions. No, you're not. And you're not willing to give us full answers. Now, I know in some cases you can't, and if we have chance of our troops or others in danger by giving the information out, we go back to the World War II, loose lips sink ships. So let's don't talk about that. Let's don't give that information out at this point. But we still have to be concerned the troops we do have in the area. And can this be contained to just Ukraine? Now, I'm looking at a statement issued by the Ukrainian defense minister, and he says, our army and our people are ready. It's a frightening situation for the Ukrainians, is it not? The top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Congressman McCaul, told reporters last week he believes an invasion seems more likely than not. Many, many more are falling into that line, saying it's probably going to happen. Like Jake Sullivan, the White House security advisor, was saying, it could happen any day now. And again, where will we be and how far should we be involved? You heard from Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. Here's Republican Senator from Florida, Marco Rubio.
I'm telling you, if we live in a world where countries can say that belongs to us, we're going to go in and take it by military force and annex it, then you are going to see an impact to the United States. I'm not in favor of sending military troops to fight in a war in Ukraine, and I don't think we need to. But there has to be serious consequences that hopefully deter Vladimir Putin from doing what I think he's going to end up doing. And once he does it, he's got to pay a big price, or other people are going to follow his example and do the same thing.
Perfect point. There are other countries that say, you know, we had treaties we signed decades ago that should be declared invalid. We should have that piece of property back. We know China is already saying we should have Taiwan and other areas that we insist are part of our territory. And they're watching all this unfold. And see, there's where the issue is not just what is happening with Ukraine and Russia and U.S. troops in neighboring states, NATO states, but what Russia is doing and how China is watching this chess game play out, and they play long-range games, not short-term, and North Korea is watching. And in the midst of all of this, there's still another hot spot, the Middle East, Iran, and nuclear weapon buildup, because the Biden administration is basically lifting sanctions, trying to appease the Iranians who hate us and want to kill us. But he's trying to reinstall that pact that Obama made with them, which was worthless and Trump got us out of. Coming up, former general talking about the dangers from Iran still on the horizon. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think you're going to see a nuclear breakout. And what I mean by a breakout, they're going to have enough enriched uranium to produce a nuclear weapon easily within the year. They're currently producing enrichment about 60 to 70%, 90% gets weapons grade. They admit doing it, and there's no way we're going to stop it. Look, it's a fool's errand to try to get them back into the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the Iran nuclear deal.
Fool's errand. That is retired Army Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. He's a contributor to Fox News. And he's talking about how Iran is continuing to escalate its nuclear activity. And if you recall, Biden was with Obama as they were so excited that they had this joint agreement. As Obama said, Iran will not have a nuclear weapon on my watch. Well, of course, that was with 18 months to go in his office. They were still working on it. And it was not really a full treaty because it didn't go through the Senate. It just had Obama's signature on it. As soon as Trump got in, he tore it up because all it did was really just allow Iran to continue with trading partners that would help it build nuclear ability. Now, of course, their story was, we're just trying to come out of the Stone Age. It's for infrastructure. That's pretty much like the Biden Build Back infrastructure program. How much really going to go for streets and highways and bridges? And how much are you going to go for all the wokeness? Although in this other situation, it's with not infrastructure, but nukes. And they enjoy dealing with Biden and the Biden administration because the Biden administration is clueless. Either that or they just think they're smarter, that Iran really would not use any nuclear weaponry against Israel, which it's sworn to kill. Israel is a lot smarter, believe me. That's why there have been a few explosions from time to time at some of the facilities in Iran, and they just, no one can explain what happened. Might be Mossad, might be something else, but they recognize the danger. And yet the Biden administration just continues to lift sanctions, and that just enables this to escalate. Again, back to the words of retired Army Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg.
Once we started lifting sanctions, we just lifted another one on called CivNuke, which means now that third parties can, and other countries can actually help them develop their nuclear capability. And Ali Shamkhani, who's their chief of staff in the National Security Council, said nobody has the right to tell us to do what we want to do with nuclear development, and either peaceful or what concerned me was the word he used, or security means. So they're heading that way. The Israelis are correct. We ought to be thinking right now, what do we do when they do have a breakout, because it's going to destabilize them. Least.
And that we cannot have either, can we? So we have that on our plate. We have the imminent Russia-Ukraine. We've got China watching all of this. We've got North Korea. And I'm looking at a report put out by the Federalist, a piece pointing out that Europe now gets more than 40% of its natural gas from Russia. So all this push for green energy, especially in Europe, has given Russia a bigger footprint in Europe. We know that. Biden is claiming, oh, well, we'll shut down the Nord Stream pipeline into Germany if you invade. Germany is not saying anything. They do not want to lose that pipeline. Coming up next, my guest says there may be a way we can still talk peace instead of war.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. The Westminster Institute was established in 2009, and it gets no government funding. It's basically involving what can be done to protect the world itself and certainly the U.S. from extremism, radical ideologies, and, of course, dealing with issues that are front and center, such as Ukraine, Russia right now. My guest we've had on numerous times before, he's a policy expert with the Center for Security Policy, knowledgeable in defense and so forth. Stephen Bryan, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Nice to be with you.
Now, I know you, the reason I mentioned to the audience, folks, so you understand, the Westminster Institute, Stephen did a presentation in front of them the other day about how we could possibly avoid war breaking out in Ukraine. And first of all, before I break down some of what you had to tell them the other day, if you're looking at a percentage point or a timeline, let's begin with the over-under of Russia going into Ukraine.
Okay, well, I mean, there's, according to Washington, the Russian buildup just outside of Ukraine in the north, the northeast, is around 70% complete. Then a lot of it depends on weather and timing. And so if the Russians really wanted to, they say they don't, but if they really wanted to, probably we're talking about April, March, April.
All right. The Ides of March are after that, April Fool's Day.
Yeah, because it's
April
Fool's
too
muddy.
Day. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's too muddy right yeah. now. Frozen yeah. in some places, muddy in others.
All right, now, dealing with what's at stake and how to resolve it and how to get the talks and stabilize everything, you pointed out something I think a lot of the public is not aware of. We all know about Crimea and we know about NATO issues, but inside Ukraine itself, you got divisions. Explain
That's
that
right.
and how Russia has been using that to their advantage.
Well, there's two areas in what's called the Donbass region. One's called Luhansk, and the other's called Donetsk. And these two areas in 2014 broke away from Ukraine and said they were independent republics. Nobody recognizes that, not even the Russians. But the Russians have been helping them to fend off attacks by Ukrainian army forces. So the real question is what to do with them. And that's the key issue in this whole thing.
So if Russia comes in from the north, these other regions, these republics, and as you said, when we say they're not recognized, yet they claim they are, I mean, if you look at the map of Ukraine, does it really show them broken out, or are they just kind of say, imagine us, we're here?
Well, they don't have an official boundary, but there's a demarcation line where the fighting stopped. And then everything beyond that is considered part of these two republics.
And during that fighting, very quickly, I'm sorry, during that fighting, you said Russia was supplying them with weapons, high-quality weapons, World War II throwaways, what?
No, modern weapons.
All right.
Up-to-date weapons. Tanks, armored vehicles, rockets, anti-tank weapons, they're all modern. It's modern equipment, not a lot, but the real problem is mass and volume. I mean, what I understand is, and I think this is confirmed by these two republics, is altogether they can put into the field up to 30,000 soldiers. The Ukraine can put up four times that number. And what's been going on with Ukraine since about 2015 is its forces are being modernized, largely by the United States and by other NATO countries.
All right, which brings us one of the other issues, and that is the NATO expansion to the east. I mean, that's where Russia has been saying if the U.S. and NATO would agree not to make Ukraine part of NATO, then we'd cease and desist. First of all, do you believe that, and is it that easy?
Well, there's more parts to it than that, but, I mean, that's part of the story. I mean, the other part of the story is that there's something called the Minsk protocols, Minsk agreements, that were reached in 2015, which deal with what to do about these two republics. And I think the Russians anticipate that that part of the deal is going to be a solution to that. And the Minsk protocols say that these two areas, Luhansk and Donetsk, stay part of Ukraine, but become autonomous within Ukraine. And autonomy among regions in different countries is nothing unusual. It's done all the time.
Well, but it also sounds like to Americans trying to grasp this, like we suddenly have an enemy force somewhere inside the country that's being supplied by another power outside the U.S., and who knows what could suddenly escalate. One spark and everything is
that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think that's why this is so dangerous.
And the annexation of Crimea, obviously, another big part of this whole issue.
It is, but I don't think that's on the table right now. In other words, the Russians aren't giving it back, and the Ukrainians are not really spending much time trying to get it back.
All right, so then let's get to the issue that concerns a lot of Americans, and that's what we as the U.S. should be, are doing, and should not be doing. And as you pointed out very, I think, succinctly, you just cannot fight a selected battle if you wanted to. In other words, what happens in Ukraine might not stay within that border.
That's right. I mean, the real danger of all this is that we would have to use bases in other countries, such as Romania or Poland, Bulgaria, which are all sort of all around Ukraine. And if you use those bases and try to reinforce the Ukrainians in a fight against the Russians, the Russians may attack those bases. So the war gets much bigger than what you think it's going to be.
The other day the story came out, and this was, I don't know if this timing, if this was before you did your presentation to the Westminster Institute or afterwards, the report that supposedly Russia was going to produce a fake video of Ukraine invading Russia or Crimea and sparking the war, not the Russians doing it. And that story is peddling around Washington. The White House immediately started saying that's Russian propaganda and it doesn't exist. And to my knowledge, no one has shown any such video.
Right. Yep. And also on the other side of the coin, Washington said it had its own video.
Right. Yeah.
So everybody's got a video, but nobody wants to show it to you. I just think it's part of the propaganda that's being thrown around and a lot of loose language, harsh language that's being used not only by the Russians, but by us and by our allies.
Republican.
The language part's a real problem.
Republicans often looked at as hawks, but for the most part, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, for instance, and Marco Rubio we had on a little bit earlier, and others have stated, we don't want U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine. We had troops around the area, but not in Ukraine. We have them in NATO
nations. Well, I mean, yeah, that's right, because we have NATO, and right. we have troops in Poland and in Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Romania. Not many, but I think 3,000, more or less. Not enough to fight a war.
What's the purpose? Just kind of a show that we're ready? I mean, there's not enough to do anything, and yet it's also putting them in harm's way, even if they don't cross into Ukraine to some extent. What's the value of doing that? Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if it has much value other than it's supposed to send a message to Moscow, I suppose, that we're serious. But that doesn't say what we're serious about.
So. That was my next question. You jumped ahead on me on that one. That's the whole point. I mean, how serious does Moscow take the Biden White House?
That's an excellent question, and I don't know the answer, but I think there's a lot of doubt in Russia about the U.S., about the reliability of the U.S., about the intentions of the U.S. They're not sure Biden really is in control of anything. I mean, you know, the Russian press is full of all that. Is it true? I don't know.
And but China, and China's watching. North Korea's watching. Iran's watching.
Yeah. But I think the immediate issue is, can we find a way to negotiate a process with the Russians that leads to some solution? And there's three issues on the table.
Yeah, which we just discussed, and I want to get which we discussed the division inside Crimea and everything else. In I should have allowed you more time. I had so many questions for you. Do you mind if we carry you over to the next segment?
I'll stay on.
Oh, good. I'd like to do that because there are so many issues, and I felt like I shortchanged your presentation. But I looked at that presentation. I thought there's some salient points here that could be valuable if the U.S. is willing to listen. So Stephen Bryan is going to stay with us. We'll pick him up on the other side of the commercial. I'll remind you, we are live streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook, YouTube. I'm sorry, not Facebook, at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. And we are going to be dealing, as I said in the beginning of this hour, mostly with Ukraine and Russia. So Stephen's gracious enough to stay for part of the next segment with us. Some things he raised in this Manhattan Institute presentation that I think, you know, maybe if anyone is really listening, might be a solution to stopping this thing from blowing up. We'll see about that on the other side. Stand by, please.
First truck when I was three, drove 100,000 miles on my knees, hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest staying with us, Stephen Bryan, leading expert in security strategy with the Center for Security Policy, delivering a presentation to Westminster Institute the other day on Ukraine and how to avoid war. And there's a report out by Intel, supposedly showing intercepted Intel, that Russian officials themselves are worried that a large scale of invasion of Ukraine would be costlier, and they really don't want it. You and your speech or your address, and I should say the presentation you were doing with the Westminster Institute, suggested really Putin does not want to go to war. Is that the starting point to avoiding it totally or not?
Well, it certainly helps. That's not his intention, if that's true. I mean, we can't get into his brain and know. But, there are voices in Russia. The latest one today was from a colonel general of the army named Ivashov, who criticized putting those troops up there facing Ukraine and said, you know, the last thing that we need is a war. It's the worst possible outcome. and we should tone it down. So, I mean, that was, you know, I think the Russian people don't want it. I have a feeling that Putin doesn't want it. The question is, he's got himself in a pickle in a way because he's made a challenge and he has to make some decisions. And, you know, we could help him by working out some deals, or we could not help him and end up in a mess. I think it comes down to that.
What kind of deals do you think would be possible and acceptable?
Well, the first is easiest one on paper because there's already a framework, and that's called the Minsk Protocols, and that works out a deal on those two Donbass republics that we talked about, Luhansk and Donetsk, for granting them autonomy if the Ukrainians can find a way to work that out with the Russians and with the people from the Donbass Basin. That will avoid that. Then the Russians can pull those troops back. So that would be a big step.
And see, here's something I want to point out very quickly. Most of that's never really been an issue pointed out to the public. It's always been just the NATO annexation issue. So, but you think that dealing with those two breakaway republics inside Ukraine, that would satisfy Russia and give him, as you said, a chance to save face and pull everybody back?
Well, he'll pull them back, but if we put, you know, if we make Ukraine part of NATO, put them back there again. So
yeah.
We have to still solve the NATO issue.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
It's still on the table. But I think the first thing, the easiest one, easiest in the sense that there's a framework for it, is the Minsk protocols and the agreement of the parties, at least in principle, to address them. So there's a group in Europe called the Normandy Group, which Russians are a member of, which also includes Germany and France and Ukraine. And I think that group is designed to deal with this question of these republics and the Donbass area.
Now
we have to deal with Ukraine.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, then you get back to the base issue again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is that so much of Europe is getting more and more dependent upon Russia, especially for energy.
Absolutely. I mean, look at Germany is the biggest buyer of energy from Russia. Huge amount. I mean, so they're not the only ones. I mean, they all are to some degree. Poland is 60% dependent on Russian gas. So yes, they're very dependent. It was a big mistake for the Europeans to go down that road. We warned them about that in the 80s. I was in the Reagan administration, and one of the things we told them was this: building these pipelines was very bad because they would lose their freedom of action and they might lose their independence. Well, look what we are. a prophecy fulfilled, I suspect. We have to recognize that. That's all.
And ignoring all the stop signs, warning signs, yield signs, everything. Stephen,
nobody listened.
That summed it up, everything right there. Stephen, as always, I appreciate your time and your expertise, sir.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me.
You bet. We'll do it again. Stephen Bryan with the Center for Security Policy and an expert when it comes to security strategy and technology. So as you can hear, a lot of folks not aware of the developments inside Ukraine in dealing with those two republics because it doesn't get all the attention like the NATO issue does and U.S. troops being sent around the region. Hopefully, as he's suggesting, we can find a way, the Biden administration will find a way to help Russia and Putin save face and back up. If Putin really doesn't want to do it, did he overcommit? They don't want to get anything. They are looking at probably what we did in Afghanistan, prior to that Vietnam, and they don't want to get involved in something like that again. Russia's been into Afghanistan. They know that story as well. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be focusing on law and order and the lack of law and order, the number of police officers killed just during this Biden administration so far, and the increasing number of homicides across the U.S., and, of course, then all those who tell you to mask up and so forth and so on, showing how much of a hypocrite they really are. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.